I'm continuing in the series in Matthew. We happen to be in Matthew 15 today. And so I'd like to read the scripture here. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, where the temple was, the capital city. And they said to him, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the very word of God. You hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called people to him, and he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. This is the word of the Lord." So these scribes and Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they have heard rumors of Jesus and his teaching, and they're not impressed. In fact, they're very concerned, because what they hear that Jesus is saying goes contrary to what they have been teaching the people of Israel. So they come from Jerusalem and they say, "Hey, why are your disciples breaking our traditions?" Because they don't wash before they eat. Now, what is at play in that moment? Okay, if you all read the Torah, the first five books of Moses, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 22, there is a whole discussion about what it looks like for the tribe of Aaron, and especially the Levites, as they are dedicated unto God, to interact with the holy things in the tabernacle or in the temple, okay? And one of the things that was at play here was that there were certain things that they could not touch. The idea was that if they touched it, that thing which was unclean, let's say it was a pig, or let's say it was some carrion by the way on the road, something dead, that if they touched that, then they became unclean. Okay? So how they dealt with that was ceremonially to wash themselves beforehand. And now it's from Leviticus 22. Well, you've heard of the story, what's good for the gander, what's good for the goose. The scribes and Pharisees decide, well, if that's good for the priests of God, you know, the ones that are dedicated unto the Lord, well, then it's got to be good for everybody. Doesn't every one of us want to be holy unto the Lord? So that they developed this idea that if they would have a ceremonial washing before they ate anything, then the things that they touched would not then become unclean. So, that's what's behind that thinking. But it is a tradition of man. It is a human tradition. It is an extension of the law. You understand what's going on here? This is not in the law of God. This is not in the Bible, so to speak. But they thought it would be a good idea to expand that. So, I love Jesus' response there. it's very Jesus. He answers a question with a question. Ha! Okay, so let's talk about your human traditions here and how important it is for you to honor the Lord and to be set apart as unto the Lord and not to be unclean. He says, like, okay, that is a human tradition that you've developed that is an extension of your understanding of the Word of God. But I got a question for you. Why do you undo the very written Word of God in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, so that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you? There's a whole expansion of what it looks like to honor your father and your mother. Well, in those days, in the time of the temple, the scribes and Pharisees, the leaders of the people, had said that there was something that you could do that would get you out of your responsibility to care for your needy mom and dad. Okay, so let's say that you had a certain amount of wealth and that you dedicated that to the temple, okay? Or like today you might say, the church. I'm going to give that to the church. And then you could turn around and say to your parents, I know you're needy, and I know that this would be helpful to you, but hey, I've got a higher calling. I'm giving it to God. Okay, that's religiosity. That's doublespeak. Because it's clearly written in God's Word that we are to care for our parents that are in need, first and foremost, okay? So don't allow yourself to be caught up in the traditions of men which set aside the very Word of God. At one point I heard a definition of tradition. Listen to me clearly on this. Tradition, the living faith of the dead, but the dead faith of the living. You understand it? Like if God has called you to something special and you walk in that and you've walked in it for generations and you don't pass on the true faith to your kids and your kids and their kids are just kind of perfunctorily, performatively walking through religious tradition, but it's dead to them. It was alive to somebody else in a previous generation, but now it's just become a tradition. We need to be careful not to pass on traditions that are not without life. Now, I'm not knocking tradition. There are all sorts of, we're Presbyterians. There are certain things that we do that are traditional Presbyterian ways of doing things, okay? And I'm not wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? But let us be discerning when it comes to these kinds of things. Jesus is continuing this conversation, and the idea is these people are not washing their hands before they eat, therefore they are making the thing that they eat unclean, and then they take that and they eat that, and then again they become doubly defiled. Okay, that's the logic of the Pharisees anyway. And Jesus is saying, like, don't you realize that it's not what you put in your mouth that makes you unclean, but that which comes out of your heart and then through your mouth. For the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, this is King James, so speaketh the mouth. Y'all know that one, right? Okay, some of you are loving the King James Version. Some of the scriptures I learned in the KJV, for sure. Out of the abundance of the heart. That's what Jesus is quoting here, the wisdom of Solomon from the Proverbs. Okay, it's out of what's coming out of the mouth is coming here. And he's talking about kosher and unkosher. Now, you know that in the scriptures there was kosher food and unkosher food. Everybody knows that for Jewish people, they're not allowed to eat any meat product from what? A pig. And they're not allowed to eat any product from a camel, okay, or a horse, because there's certain things about those animals that evidently make them unclean. Same thing with birds. You know, you can have chicken and duck, but please don't eat owl or hawk, okay? Because those owls and hawks, they were associated with carrion, which is like roadkill, okay? And so that was like unclean. And then the bird became unclean, and then if you ate the bird that was unclean, then you became unclean. So this is the whole thing about kosher and non-kosher food. And I think it's beautiful and it's interesting that Jesus takes that as as a story, because in Mark, when Peter is relaying these gospel stories to John Mark, who records them, he puts in parentheses, and in this way, Jesus declared all edible foods available for us. Now that's a kind of a big deal. And I don't think it's for nothing that it was Peter. Now, Peter walked out of the boat the other day. We were doing a sermon on that. Somebody came up to me and they said, yeah, we crack on Peter a lot. But if you're going to walk by faith, you got to get out of the boat. All right? Peter is always this guy. He seems to be sticking his foot in his mouth and talking first. And the Lord uses that beautifully in his leadership then in the New Testament church and beyond. Of course, Peter says, are you still so dull? Don't you get it? Anyway, how long did it take Peter to really understand what Jesus was saying about kosher and non-kosher, about the traditions of man and about what he had come to do as the king who was inaugurating the kingdom? He was saying, don't allow people to define what is clean or unclean. The Jewish people had no association with Gentiles, for example. Okay? Now, you really don't see that in the Old Testament. God has a heart for the Gentiles over and over and over again. And so Peter, a few years later, you remember that story in Acts 10? He's supposed to go visit a Roman who works for the occupying forces of Rome, Cornelius. And he's waiting in the middle of the day, and all of a sudden he has this vision, this dream, and there's this sheet, and on this sheet is all sorts of edible food. Well, edible for us, but not for him. And the Spirit says, Peter, kill and eat. And he's like, I'm not touching that. Most of that food in there is not kosher. I'm definitely not going to have, some bacon. I'm definitely not going to be eating that. And what does the Spirit say? Do not declare unclean that which I have declared clean. Okay, so there's that piece again. Jesus is saying, what was the purpose of kosher laws? Honestly, if we really look at it, that we, the people of Israel, would be a peculiar people. That they would be a people that is set apart unto the Lord. That they would be different than the nations. Okay? Okay. But Jesus is going to get into that, because now the difference isn't necessarily in where you wear long earlocks or whether you don't eat pig meat. But there's a stamp on you as the people of God that everybody's going to say, wow, they're different. There's something special about those people. Okay? So it's not a bunch of dietary laws or the things that we observe or don't observe when it comes to those kind of things, but it is a transformation of the heart. So the title of this sermon today is, what's in your heart? Jesus said, listen, if your heart is full of all these fleshly things because it has not yet been transformed, then what proceeds from it is going to be bad stuff. He talks about lying and cheating and gossiping and murder and fornication and all this other stuff. Now, he leaves it as an open question. But we know the story of the gospel, that Jesus died for us so that we don't have to live in that old reality of brokenness, of fleshly thinking, of worldly thinking, of really serving the old master, the enemy of our souls. But we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so you see, when I ask the question, what's in your heart? I hope and pray that you're able to answer, Jesus is in my heart. And I have a new life in him. And now I live by the Spirit. And so this whole list that you see that Jesus lists there, like the converse of that, the inverse, the positive then, can be listed in one of the epistles where Paul talks about the fruit, that very tasty and delicious fruit that the world will taste and see when they see it in our lives, and it will be an unmistakable mark of the kingship of Christ, that he is living within us, that the world will see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control as we are a people of Christ, as we are people of the Spirit, we will bear the fruit from within the depth of our heart, and all the world will see. And by God's grace, through that winsome living out of our faith, people will be attracted to Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters, as we go from this place, oh, live out of the reality that Christ has transformed our lives and that we have a new life in Him. Hallelujah.